Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Wavebreak Podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Kelly, and I'm the founder of the e-commerce email marketing agency, Wavebreak. I help Shopify stores stop leaking revenue with done-for-you email marketing. Every week on this podcast, which is one of the top business podcasts on iTunes, thanks to you, listener, I interview the people behind the top Shopify stores, and I get them to share their secrets. Today's episode is going to be another different episode. Instead of having a guest share their secrets, I'm going to share one of the secrets I've learned running email marketing for multi-million dollar Shopify stores. Today's topic is rescue more abandoned carts. It's not what you think. And I'm just going to hop right into it. So I really like doing these solo episodes, and I want to do more sharing of behind the scenes tips of what's working in email marketing. Obviously, I get to work with a lot of really cool brands, and I get to see what's working across a variety of different industries. And today I'm going to be sharing something I've learned about, I've learned from experience of creating tons and tons of abandoned cart emails, and even a story of an abandoned cart email making me convert. So I'm going to start with a story. Last year, I was going to send my girlfriend flowers. And since it's 2018, well, I guess it was 2017 at the time, but it's 2018 now. And the way it works in 2018 is you go to Google and you Google like flowers and you find an online flower service. Now, I knew nothing about flowers. So I just looked around. I don't know. It was one of the top like three or five Google searches. I clicked on a few websites. Some looked outdated, so I picked the one that like looked nice. I know nothing about flowers. So I'm like clicking through all these flowers. There's like different, like it was in the fall, so there's like pumpkin things and like Thanksgiving and Christmas flowers coming up. Like I didn't want to make the mistake of like accidentally sending like, you know, like Christmas flowers or I don't know. I was doing a lot of Googling. I know nothing about flowers. I couldn't even name a flower if you held it in front of my face, unless it's like a rose or a dandelion. I don't know if a dandelion. I don't even know how to say the word. So that's my experience with flowers. But you know, I'm a romantic guy. I'm a great guy. You can tell by this podcast. I'm putting out value into the world with this show and, putting out flowers into the world for the, lucky women out there. this is a solo episode and I'm laughing at my own jokes. But anyway, I know nothing about flowers. So I looked around, found a nice flower. It looked really good. I got great compliments after I sent the flower. So I picked a good one, but it probably took me a few hours to find this flower. Now, I think the flower was $50 or something like that. I was expecting it to be, I don't know, not that expensive. Yeah, that's how much it was, which is actually kind of cheap compared to like sending flowers on Valentine's Day or something, which can get pretty pricey. Anyway, I went to check out, had my credit card out, had it ready, and then I looked at my total. I thought my order was going to be $50 or something like that, like something like $50 to $55 or $40. I forget what it was. But I went to check out, had my credit card out, and then I looked at my total. And it was $65 or $70 now. And I thought, well, crap, did I accidentally add another one to my cart? Or like, what did I do? Like, does the pot cost extra or does the bag cost extra? I was confused because it was a whole $15 to $20 more than the cost of the flowers. And this was just a random surprise. There wasn't really an occasion. I also don't care about $15 to $20. I spend that on Chipotle in 2 days. So all I have to do is not eat Chipotle for 2 days and, you know, I covered the extra cost. And it turns out the that extra $15 to $20 was for the delivery. It was the price of the delivery. But I thought, okay, it was like 8 o'clock or something at night. And I thought, okay, I'm going to check some other sites later, do some more research. Like, I don't really even know about flowers. So, and also like sometimes I'm a procrastinator. So I was just like, I'll do it later. An hour later, I opened up my email and I got an email from them. And their email was, get free delivery on your order. And guess what I did? I completed my purchase right away. Now I want to take a step back and I want to explain like, why did that work? And so the reason why it worked is because my reason for not buying was the delivery fee. It was unexpected. There's a lot of content on these sites about the flowers and just a lot. There's a lot going on. I'm sure they could optimize their funnel for conversions. I'm sure they are. But just, I didn't realize the delivery fee was going to be like $15 or $20. I don't know. I forget what it was, but it was like a lot more than I was expecting. But and I could afford it. It just came up out of nowhere, and it just surprised me. I was expecting to pay $50. Now it's $70, and I was just like, okay, like that's a big difference. Like that's like 50% of the cost of the flour now that my order just increased, or something like that. I'm bad at doing math on the fly, but if I just bear with me here. But anyway, the flour shop, what they did was they pulled a lever. They pulled a lever, and I'll explain what that is in a second. But by pulling that lever and offering me the free delivery, they got the sale. And since then, I've ordered from them multiple times, and my customer lifetime value is hundreds of dollars, and I'm going to keep ordering from them. But here's the thing. This all wouldn't have happened without that abandoned cart email. I actually would have left, and I was pretty set on going to a competitor just because, you know, I'm not a flour expert. And not that I don't care about the delivery fee or anything. It's just like there's just friction there that I wasn't expecting. And I was sending them for a random occasion. So there's all these reasons going on and all these things I was thinking in my head that I wasn't even really making a mental decision about. Like I wasn't really thinking about the delivery fee or thinking, oh, if the delivery is X dollars, I'm not going to order. It just happened. And it's just like, it made me second guess it. And so I backed out. And then they sent this email and they got me back. So the lesson here is you're probably sending some sort of abandoned cart email now. And my question for you is, what is your offer? A lot of people take the wrong approach. I see this all the time. It's just like 10% off, 20% off. They keep increasing it over time or something. I abandon a lot of carts on purpose, like not necessarily to get a cheaper product, but obviously as an email marketer, I do that. Sorry guys, if I order from you and you notice I use your abandoned cart thing, don't remove me from your email list. Like the 10% off, the 20% off, that might work. But my question for you is it your best offer? Did you just pull that number out of the air? Or are you catering to people's objections? And I'm going to challenge you to not start with your abandoned cart emails from a perspective that you normally would. So normally you would think just, oh, I'm just going to offer a discount. That'll convert people. And like I said, that might work, but what's your best offer? Most people try to create abandoned cart emails with discounts and timing that they just copy from other people or from podcasts like this. They want a proven template that's perfected that they can just copy and paste into their store. But that's the wrong approach because every store is different. Every customer is different. You need to start by asking why. Think about it. Some stores have free shipping on all US orders. Some stores have free shipping on all orders. Some stores have free shipping over $50. Some have free shipping over $100. Like every store is different. There's no standard for shipping. So that alone, I mean, that just shows that one thing alone, shipping is so different across different businesses, which means you can't just offer a discount code because think about your competitors. Like your competitors might have a shipping threshold of $50. You might do free shipping. And your other competitor might charge, you know, $8 for shipping no matter what. There's no free shipping. And so there's going to be a lot of variance there. So you can't just copy your competitors. You can't just copy, you know, your favorite Shopify store that you follow and listen to on podcasts. You can't even just copy what I'm going to tell you in this podcast because every store is different. Just like if you copied, let's say you run a store that sells, I'm just looking at my desk. Phone cases. Let's say, okay, so I have a phone case on my phone. It is from, oh goodness, I forget the brand. Peel. It's from Peel. It is a super thin iPhone case. It's like the thinnest they make in the world. I don't know if that's true, but it's like really thin. And I love this case. And say, okay, let's say I sell phone cases and you sell t-shirts. Just because I'm killing it with my phone case ads, it doesn't mean that you can kill it with my same audience and my same ad content if you're selling t-shirts. Now, you might be able to take some good takeaways from, I don't know, maybe the design of my ads or something or like the way I structure my copy, but you can't just copy and paste it word for word because your audience is different. Your customer is different. I think that's a better example. And the same goes for email. You can't just look at your competitors' emails and think, I should just copy these or, you know, another company who's killing it in the Shopify space or even one of my clients and say, oh, I should do my emails like them because every store is different. And you need to start by asking why. And here are some questions to get you started. Why did this person abandon their cart? Did they just forget about it? Did they just think, this is cool where they just window browsing and then they left? which is huge in e-commerce. So many people do that. Did they just, were they surprised by your shipping costs? Were they not expecting to pay $10 for shipping? Or are they in a different country where your shipping works differently? Is there some surprise tax or fee that you don't talk about? These are all objections that people are having. Is your product a big investment? Is it a risk? Is there a risk they're taking? Do they just not trust you yet for whatever reason? And what you want to do is you want to make a list of all these objections and figure out, okay, what are the top objections that people have to my brand? If you have free shipping, for example, or you have a free shipping threshold, maybe it's because, you know, people added things to their cart, they didn't pass the threshold, and they're surprised by the shipping price. Like, that's huge. Maybe they were just window browsing. And the way these people buy and the reasons they have for abandoning are all different. And you can't just send them the same 10% off email and expect it to convert. Sometimes a discount is not your best option. If someone just forgot to order, they should get a different email than somebody who didn't want to pay your shipping price. And here's what's great about this. Two things can happen when you get this right. Number one, you make more money because you're not giving away a discount. And number two, you get more conversions because your offer is relevant. And I'm going to dive into a few quick examples. So let's say, this is really important too, because with your abandoned cart emails, you shouldn't just have one abandoned cart email sequence. You should probably have at least two, one for customers, one for non-customers. But even more like for a separate series for international customers, because your shipping is probably different, your processes are probably different, and you don't want to cram all the info into one email. Same with high value and low value orders. You definitely don't want to be treating people with a $20 average order value the same as somebody who has a $1,000 average order value. And your incentive is going to be different here. Like the person with the $1,000 order, I guarantee you their objection. It could be. I was thinking just like, they probably don't care so much about shipping, but if they're spending so much on a product, they might have a different objection, like the price is too high, or, you know, what happens if this doesn't work out? You think of a company like Casper or Tuft & Needle, where they're selling these mattresses that are expensive and you have a mattress for years. That's a huge risk there. And I guarantee a lot of people add it to their cart because they're just like, this is a huge purchase. This is a big deal. I don't know if I'm ready to make it. But if you create your abandoned cart emails right, you're going to give people all the nudges they need, and you're going to help them change their views around their objection, the story they're telling themselves in their head, and you're going to close the deal. And before you know it, after you close this deal, it's not just, you didn't just rescue that sale, you rescued a customer. Now you can follow up via email with, you know, related products. If you sell them the mattress, now you can sell them the sheets. You can sell them the comforter, the duvet cover, the pillow. Casper has a dog bed they can cross sell, which is great. Like, you didn't just win one purchase, you won a customer. And if you're using your email list right, that customer is going to buy multiple times. This is super important. And you don't want to just copy somebody. I keep reiterating that. But yeah, it's great to take a shortcut. But is it really a shortcut? The real shortcut is to ask yourself, why? Why did this person abandon my cart? And what can my email do to get them to convert? And you're going to make more money because you're not giving away a discount. And you're going to get more conversions because your offer is relevant. I already said that, but I wanted to say it again. So my action step for you to apply this to your store as we wrap up here is, what are your abandoned cart emails currently? Did you just copy them from somebody? Have you thought about the strategy? Like why you're sending out the offer you are? Did you just set them up, crank them out? Are you not sending any abandoned cart emails at all? Because if that's true, you definitely should get those set up as soon as possible. That's one of the top ways that you can make money with email, and you really should have those up. And if you have them set up, are you combating objections or just offering discounts? Are you pulling the right levers? You want to have levers in your business so you don't necessarily have to offer them right away. For example, you don't have to offer a discount right away. But after somebody shows interest and they have an objection to, in sales, they teach you like pull levers. You want to pull the lever. So you don't want to have the lever like on the front page of your website, for example. Maybe it's a free shipping discount code. You might not have that on the front of your website because not everyone needs it. But the 2% of your traffic who bounces during checkout because of that reason, you pull the lever via email. You say, hey, here is your free shipping code. And you go from there. It's not complicated. The questions are, what are your abandoned cart emails currently? Do you have them set up? If you do, if you don't, set them up. If you do, are they combating objections, or are you just giving away your profit? Because you don't want to just give away a discount. That's very dangerous. Then people get used to discounts, they'll abandon carts on purpose, and so on. Now, here is the next step. If you need help coming up with a better abandoned cart strategy, there's going to be a link in the show notes below. I'll hop on a call with you and I'll help you plan out your perfect abandoned cart email sequence. I only have time to take so many calls, so I'm only going to give them away to the first 10 people that apply. You can head over to wavebreak.co/strategy to schedule your call. And it's not a sales call. I'm not going to try to sell you. I'm just going to give you some actionable advice on your abandoned cart email strategy. And to be completely transparent to the people that I talk to that I think I can help personally, I will invite them to work with me. But I'm not going to do that unless I know you can at least 5x your investment in me. All of our active clients are doing at least 10x ROIs currently. So that means for every dollar that they get in, they make at least $10 back. We have a client doing about 45x. So for every $1 they spend on WaveBreak, they get $45 back, which is just unreal. And like, that's an insane result. I can't promise you that, but I can promise you that I'm only going to invite you to work with me if I think I can at least 5x your money in me every single month. And now if you want to learn more about that and you want to apply for that free call, head over to wavebreak.co/strategy. Book it before it fills up. It's going to fill up fast. Last episode, I did 30 slots, and this episode, I'm doing even less. I'm only doing 10, so you're going to want to get in as fast as possible. This is just because I'm a lot more busy with more podcast interviews, onboarding new clients, and doing different things as I prepare my clients for Black Friday. So apply as soon as you can at wavebreak.co/strategy if that's something you are interested in. Thanks so much for listening to this episode. I really appreciate it. If you enjoyed it, leave a review on iTunes. I would love to read it and hear your feedback. Thanks for listening to this episode. Subscribe to the show on iTunes to get notified of new episodes as soon as they drop.